There's a fellow named John Ortberg, who's a pastor and an author, who's written recently that he thinks that people today, maybe more so than in previous generations, have an illness. He calls it a sickness and puts a name on it. He says we have the hurry up sickness. And I wanted to give some descriptions of that and see if you have that. It does have something to do with your health with God and how you're doing with Him, whether you're trusting Him consistently or maybe missing Him because of being in such a rush. Well, here's a symptom. When choosing a line at the grocery store, do you count the people in each line before you choose which line to go in and count the number of items in their carts before you pick what line to switch into? And then lo and behold, there's a price check in your line and all your plans are foiled again. In the home or to other people, do you say hurry up more than one time on your way to church or as people get ready to go to school or another place? This is for the men. Men, do you tell your wife, I'll wait for you in the car while she continues to get ready for a trip or for church itself? When we were first married, I tried this. I was a new husband, so what do I know? I went into the Regina, I told my wife, I'll wait for you in the car. And so I go in the car after a while, just so she didn't forget about me. I hit the horn a number of times. Not a good way to communicate to your loved ones. So I remember driver's education. They said the horn is to warn. It is not to send other messages to people. So if you have any of those symptoms, if you find you're retired, more busy now than you ever were, and feel like if you went back to work, things would be much more in order. But chances are you're dealing with an unrest in your soul that God would like to help you with, and really has to do with how you're doing with Him. The Bible tells us that God is not in a hurry. He is not in a hurry. He has not hurried after anything this week, as a matter of fact. And the only time we see in the Bible that God was in a hurry is when He was pictured as running to a person who was turning to Him in the story of the prodigal son. As one person said it, thought, I need God. I'm away from Him, from home. I'm away from Him. He went back. And God went rapidly to welcome one. And if God would move rapidly to you this morning, He would welcome you and be close to you. But the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, God is patient with you. Maybe you haven't been patient with yourself this week or with others, but God is patient with you. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is not in a hurry. It can wait. Love has all the time in the world. The believer has something that people who don't know Christ have. The believer has time, eternity, life forever with God. And so you're available to others in a way that people who are missing Christ don't have. God being patient and not in a hurry is the reason why Christ hasn't come back yet. We would like to have Him come back quickly. Say, come soon, Lord. But He is waiting, the Bible tells us, for people to receive Him. And that's why He hasn't come back, so people can be with God forever in heaven and not be away from God forever in hell. People rush into hell apart from God, but no one rushes into heaven. They meet Christ, and He guides us. He's the way there. And what describes the condition of your soul in general? Is it hurried and stressed, or is it restful and restored? What would be the best description of you? The less hurried you are, probably the more you're trusting God and walking in His path, since Jesus is not in a hurry. Mary and Martha had Jesus over their house one time, and Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, just being with Him, enjoying that time, that company, that fellowship. You might think of when you were a child and you had children over and did things with them. Was it rushing from one thing to the next that made it a good time? Or was it just enjoying, hey, My friend is here, and we'll do some things together. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to the Master, and her soul was getting some help. And Martha was distracted by all the things that she had to do. She had a lot of responsibilities. We could identify with that. And Martha says, "Lord, don't you care?" I think that's a prayer we pray when we're in a hurry. Lord, I'm swamped. I feel like I'm going under. I have to get to where I need to get to. Lord, don't you care? And to boot, I have a lazy sister that won't help me. And you start to blame people around you, you know, for the condition of your own soul. If the guy in front of me would just have driven a little faster, I would have gotten so much more done this week. "Martha, Martha," said Jesus, "you are worried and upset about many things." Martha, you're hurrying up too much. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that. Mary has chosen the one that can help her soul, and that will not be taken away from her. And so, I don't know if some are NASCAR fans. I don't watch the racing a lot. It too much typifies my life. But in the NASCAR, you know, they drive around the track many times, and very impressive with the pit crew that happens when the car pulls in and need some help. You can get your four tires changed, some repairs done, less than a minute. And off you go. I'm waiting for some repair shops around the area to offer the same thing. But none have tried yet. But even the greatest pit crew in the world can't help a car that continues to go 200 miles an hour, never pulls in to slow down. Jesus said the worries of this life and the fast pace of it and what we try to do to keep things just so can choke out the good seed of God's word. Our key relationships with God and each other really and hurry are incompatible because love requires time, and time is one thing that people in a hurry don't have. Don't have it. And hurry often, you could see, is a cousin to worry, because it tries to get on top of the world. That's what I do when I'm in a hurry. And I don't know how your internal clock is ticking. Outwardly, I can remain fairly calm in any given situation. Or at least temporarily so. But internally, something is always racing a little bit faster. What do I have to do next? And then that's not conducive to hearing from God. Hurry and worry try to control the clock when God says He has things under control. In Psalm 31, the man prays. He says, "Lord, my time is in your hands. This is your day, Lord, that you made. I can rejoice and be glad in you, whether I feel like I have a lot of responsibilities or a few." And so God would meet us. And Jesus said, by all the worry in the world and all the fast-paced lifestyle that we would choose, we would not add one single hour to our life. And that's something to consider. You might try to save time by doing this or that. Jesus said, in terms of your life and in terms of eternity, you didn't save 1 hour. Because if you have that extra hour, you'll probably get into something else and try to get into that. Rapidly. I knew a fellow who served in the military for years. He said, boy, he hated standing in lines because it reminded him of his days in the military, which were very important. But he said what they learned in the military was hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. And often that's our lifestyle. Often hurry comes from a heart that's not trusting God. It could be a symptom of being out of fellowship with God or being in sin. It's hard for me to hear from a person or hear from God when I am rushing around. It says that I'm not open to them. My heart's in a different direction. I am busy. And one preacher said, if you're busy all the time, if you say my life is busy, capital B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. He has you going in every direction possible, but not feeling like, okay, God's with me today. I can go at my work and business and friendships with a measure of calmness and peace and patience, which are a fruit of His Spirit. The Bible says in Isaiah 57, the wicked are like the tossing of the sea. Tossing of the sea, which cannot rest. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And so to let God's Spirit speak to you. He's a spirit of peace and long-suffering. And if you're hurried and stressed, He says, I can give you rest and restore your soul. Bring health. Wouldn't you like to? Internally, outwardly, you might be appearing under great difficulty. But inwardly, you could have the calmness of the Savior, who's really in charge of your every day. God invites you to make a decision or a turning in your life to repent. He says, repent. In repentance and rest is salvation. It's what God can bring to your life. One fellow on Wednesday night told the story of a responsibility at work he had. And he said he had to make a very important presentation at work. And he knew it had to go well so his work would go well. So he prepared for weeks and weeks, got every detail down just so, and felt like there was nothing possible that he could do to prepare any more. And he went and gave the presentation in perfect order. Was a little bit uptight with the details, but he said, boy, it just, boom. There was nothing happening. He felt like he was not really saying what was on his heart about the job that he was up to. He said he had a chance to give the presentation again a couple months later. And basically he had a change of mind, a change of heart. He said, God, I'm thankful for this job. As I do it with you. And if anything good's going to happen, Lord, it'll be from your hand. You know, unless the Lord builds this house, those who labor, labor in vain. I can labor from sunup to sundown. It'll be a waste of time unless you help me in this situation. He was prepared, but he went into the situation much more with a thought that God was with him, had a peace in his heart, gave the same presentation. He said, boy, he felt he actually enjoyed the time. He said people responded so much better because of the change of heart that he had. He wouldn't do things in his own strength, in a rush, in a worry or hurry, but with Christ. The Bible tells us in repentance and rest, you see God's work in quietness and trust is your strength. God can give you a quiet spirit. You can be the most outspoken, strong-willed person in the world. Nothing wrong with that, so much as it's expressed in love. But He can give you a quiet heart, which the Bible says is of great value in the eyes of God. And so Jesus understands us, like He understood Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, which meant that He was sympathetic to her plight. And He knows we're sheep on the run very often. But He still wants to be our shepherd. And so some of the things we could do, we could look to King David as an example. Remember, King David was a man of great responsibility. He was a king. You might have a lot of things going on in your life, but you're not a king of any place. He was king of a kingdom, of a country. And yet he was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, leads me beside still waters, leads me to green pastures, restores my soul. Boy, more than anything else, I think God would like to give the Christian a restored soul. Oh, it's healthy again with God. When the disciples were busy with Jesus and doing many things with the Lord, Jesus said in Mark chapter 6, come away by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Did you know resting your soul is not a sin? It's something God invites you to. And what God can do for King David, He can do for you. The Lord is the oasis that He offers it to us if we're hurried and stressed. And he'll put us back together. Often He'll use solitude as an opportunity for that. You know, there's a solitude that's difficult because there's loneliness there. And in that, God calls us to fellowship. Fellowship often really is to be a place of renewal and refreshment. Pray for gathering times with family and believers and friends, because really the Lord wants us to walk away from that refreshed and strengthened as opposed to wiped out and, you know, wanting to avoid those things. But God can use one-on-one with him as freedom from a fast-paced world that always tries to put us in its mold. You know, in Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to the image of the world or the ways of the world. You know, one way we fit into the world too much is just thinking the faster we go, the better we are. And that's just not in God's plan for our lives at all. Some ways we could repent. And it's a hard thing God offers to us this morning. First, we could say, Lord, be my Sabbath. Be my Sabbath. People years ago used to look forward to a particular day and said, hey, that's great. I don't have responsibilities today. I rest. Time with the Lord. Time with people. You can take that internal gift with you throughout the week. Christ becomes more important even than just a day. He becomes a Sabbath rest that in the midst of the greatest responsibilities, isn't it wonderful that a person who has a lot to do still remains of a trusting heart that God can provide calmness with him. Now, two is one that I have some difficulty in applying well because I do it kind of naturally. Disconnect from technology. I usually run away from technology, but you have to let God help you discern that. Is all the things that you have added to your life to make it go quicker and better really, really been the key to rest for your soul or more time? Chances are it has not. God can meet you in the speed dial, you know, if you're into that with a computer. But how fast you get on the internet doesn't have anything to do with the health of your soul. It's Christ being health for you. Disconnect from technology. Number three, disconnect from the media for a while. Because we'll give benefit of the doubt with the best intention of the world, in the world. You know, 10 tragedies are brought to your home or your heart or your ears in the radio every 15 minutes if you so desire. Some of you, that's what you desire. And then you blame the person who brought it. You know, take a disconnect from so much news that really has nothing to do with you or your walk with the Lord. 5 minutes of hearing about what the world's up to in the morning, 5 minutes at night, that's plenty to keep you praying throughout the whole day. So take a media fast. Fourth one, to know God's rest and restoration. This is a good one. Stop for the people in front of you. The people who are before you this week and today were not put there as a to stop you from following the Lord. You know, they are not holding up the kingdom of heaven by being in your life. They are sent so that you might meet Christ with them or pass Christ on to them or receive strengthening from the Lord with them. Stop for the people in front of you. I really admire those who can do this. Sometimes I try to have five conversations with people at the same time. It doesn't work. Stop for the people in front of you. Remember, you do have all the time in the world because you have the gift of eternal life. And remember, that's what the Good Samaritan did. He stopped and he said, I can be a blessing to the one in great need. The priest and the Levite walked by and missed the chance to be with God and to serve God. And then most important, most practically, meet with God every day one-on-one. Boy, as a gift. Long for that. Look forward to that. Sometimes I think gathering on a Sunday morning or whenever you gather, Wednesday night, Sunday school, small group, it's almost like there's a hurricane around you and you have a chance to get out of the hurricane for just a while. And your soul gets health and you say, okay, I'm ready to go back in the storm because the storm's not in here anymore. A.B. Simpson, very busy, missionary-minded preacher, said this: how shall we enjoy God? Is it not by reading His Word? The oasis, the bread God would feed us on. The Bible is God's ordained food to feed us. A new man, after he received Christ, the only thing he knew to read was Psalm 23. That's the only thing he read for a couple of months. He grew so strong as a Christian just by reading Psalm 23 and learning, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I guess I don't want what I thought I needed before. He leads me to quiet waters, to strength, to restoration of the soul. And what God can do for A.B. Simpson, He could do for you and I. And what if this week we became very efficient with speed and hurried and got on top of things? And in a way, we gained the whole world through how well we did it and how fast we did it. But if we did that and we lost our soul, Jesus said, what profit would that be to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Well, He offers Himself to us instead. Shepherd, Lord, King, if we're thirsty and hurried, come to Him, He says, and He will give us rest. Rest for our soul. And might you turn to Christ this morning and take His rest and health with you into what God has in store for you this week. Let's pray together as His people. Father, we might think back, or even think presently for some, to days without Christ and what that felt like. It was a mad dash, Lord. It was a rat race. It was scratching and clawing for something in life, scratching and clawing for maybe for heaven itself, we thought. And yet you stood ready to give of yourself to us. And Lord, might anybody here this morning who in their soul is just hurried and stressed because never had a trust of the Savior, might they collapse in their soul today into your waiting arms, sit at your feet, dear Jesus, and say, the Lord is my shepherd, and His goodness and mercy will follow me now, all the days of my life. Might the believers, Lord, each of us know it's not what we could do for you, or even how rapidly, that's the key, but rather that we walk in the shadow of the shepherd. We allow you to lead us. We stop to hear your voice. And we want to be that way. So give us that restful, confident spirit as we walk with you this week, Lord. Restore souls of folks who are here. I know in my lifestyle, if I would allow you to do this more often, how much more I would hear from you. Be a more blessed believer. We ask this for each one here, Lord. Do your good work among us. In your name we pray. Amen.